Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Back from being over in California, had a memorial to go to for a high school friend. And fortunately, I didn't come back on the 10. I'm sure by now most of you have heard that the 10 collapsed and that we're stuck. We're screwed. It's the eventual California is going to sink into the ocean. This happened like last night, and I was getting pounded coming back on the 8. I just decided to drive over rather than take a cheap flight. Had some time to get away from everything, and it was good. It was good. This will sound a little random off the top, but that's what I'm about. There's things that I see going on out there every day. I enjoy going to funerals. Who knew? A friend of mine that lost his battle to cancer after 5 years, and he put up a great fight. A high school friend that was very impactful to a lot of people. And I'm sitting there yesterday during the service, and I'm looking around at all these people that we knew from high school. And our high school coaches were there. That's what type of guy this Chris was. And when it was over, I'm walking over to the little reception, and there's all of our high school friends, all of our high school buddies. Remember Jerry Colangelo told me once when I was doing his weekly show, he said, he was calling me from a funeral. He said, the hardest part as you go through life is you start to go from weddings, there's this period, and then you start going to funerals. And then you start going back to weddings for like your grandchildren and things like that. But it was really an impactful weekend. It was good to get away. And I watched some sports. I saw a little bit of the Brett Favre stuff. I'm going to get into that on the show today because only in Green Bay, Wisconsin, could you get 67,000 people on a Saturday night in July together. You couldn't do that at any other stadium. You may take that as a shot if you're a Packer fan, but come on, think about that. It's actually a compliment in a backhanded sort of way. So I want to talk about that a little bit. The British Open is going on as we speak, and I'm actually hoping Zach Johnson hangs on and wins. It'll finish here in probably the next 30 to 45 minutes. The Cardinals are looking at bringing in a tight end today. We'll get into that. The Diamondbacks and much, much more. Paula Bovin will be with us. Our weekly visit with Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist. We'll talk with Paula, all things around the Arizona sports scene. The shark attack of the surfer. So, you know, we're all about sports and things that also are a little bit random. There's a random story. We have the video of the shark attack, by the way. We'll have that. This Phoenix Suns ticket snafu that some people sent to me over the weekend. An employee of the Suns trying to solicit tickets was taken a little too close from an email to a married woman and was lack of inexperience or I don't know. I'll tie all the knots together. TMZ picked up on it. Of course, you nitwits send it to me, which is, it's fine. It's fine. It's somewhat amusing. And there's also some Arizona State football recruiting news. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So many of you have made the drive across the desert, whether it's I-10 as I did going out on Friday, or if it's coming back last night on I-8. Many of you from Arizona make that drive. And I noticed as I was driving out how many Santan Ford license plate holders, the little logo that they have, that Tim Hovick and company have on vehicles, that I saw on I-10 going out. It was Explorers, it was Expeditions, the Fusion, like what I'm driving, the Ford brand, and it had Santan Ford. Not just going out, but coming back as well. My drive out there, so I picked up one of my friends, childhood friend from the airport, on Saturday morning, he's like, this is a cool car. This what is this? It's a Fusion. It's a hybrid. I'm getting 54 miles to the gallon because on the freeway out there, I didn't go crazy when I came down I-10 into Palm Springs. Just took my foot off the gas and just let it do its business. I got great mileage. I did stop to get gas once, and it was $4.70 a gallon in California. I mean, these people are nuts. They're crazy. When I got back on the 8 last night outside of Yuma, I stopped off at Welton. It was like, I don't know, 2-something, 280, 290, something like that. It was late. But I know that it didn't cost me that much to get across and back. How about you when you're driving your vehicles around? Do you have the same sort of appreciation for saving a few bucks? Do you have a vehicle that makes the most sense for you for those long drives or just to do business? When I'm done with the show today, I'm off and running. Business here, business there. And then tonight, it's to be a dad, take my son over to basketball practice. I have to have a vehicle that makes sense. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I'm not quite sure what the biggest story is today in town. The Suns today will introduce Brandon Knight for his long-term contract. We've not seen much of Brandon Knight. Brandon Knight came here in a controversial trade. The Suns gave up an awful lot to get him. He was restricted. He signs his extension, a long-term deal rather, new contract. So that is today in the middle of the day. It's significant in that they gave up so much, but I don't know if he's going to be able to give them. They, last year at this time, they were talking about all the great guards that they had on their roster, and they had to add Isaiah Thomas. So a year later, I can't sit here and say this is a great move. On the surface, you would say absolutely it is because they gave up so much to get him. So that's going to happen here in the middle of the day. The Suns tonight actually play in a title game. Believe it or not, the Suns and Spurs are playing in a title game. Unfortunately, it's not in May. It's in July. They're playing in the Summer League title game. I don't know if it means anything at all, other than it gives the Suns really diehard fans something to get excited about. Devin Booker scored 31 last night. Again, I don't know to get all excited about it. It's a Summer League game, but it's their first round pick. I'm trying to give you guys something to get into. But here in the middle of summer, the Suns have a little bit of buzz about their Summer League team. TJ Warren, first team in the Vegas Summer League. That's great. Can he play in November? If you can play between November and the end of May, early June, that's what I'm aiming for here. I don't get all that wound up and sit here and get all excited about what it looks like in July. We're going to get into the season ticket thing with the Suns a little bit later on in the show. The other big story today, though, it's not just that Brandon Knight signing his deal. And Brandon Knight better darn well be able to play alongside of Bledsoe if he's able to, if they can coexist, if they can work together along with these other young guards. I feel like the Suns have solved some problems on their roster. They have many of them. But I do think they've had a good summer. At 5 o'clock today, the Diamondbacks are going to roll out their first overall pick, Dansby Swanson. Shortstop signs a deal. He's going to be put in front of cameras so that you can see what he looks like. It gives the Diamondbacks something to take the focus of off the field, because on the field, it's not been good. It's not been good. They've lost 6 in a row. They're in a free fall. It's the worst stretch that they've had, in my opinion, this season. As I've sat here and said, 84 wins, and you guys have hammered on me, it's been ebb and flow. I've not sat here many days and said, I've got it all figured out. No, that's not me. But I have occasionally reminded you that, you know, they're hanging around here. Well, now they're not. Suddenly, it's 6 in a row that they've lost. Suddenly, they're 9.5 back. Suddenly, the Padres are tied with them. And suddenly, you have to start looking at the Diamondbacks saying on the 20th of July, are they going to be sellers? When we had this conversation a week and a half ago, they were going to be buyers, in my opinion. But a week and a half later, now I look at the Diamondbacks and say they've got to be sellers here in the next week or so. Trade deadline's coming up at the end of the month. I think they're heading in the right direction without question. This has been that transition year with the La Russa people in place, but it's been tough. 9.5 back. But they'll roll Dansby Swanson out today. And it's really hard for the Diamondbacks to try to make up ground when the Dodgers, all of a sudden, it's like they flipped the switch, and Greinke and Kershaw, some of these numbers around Greinke and Kershaw, how good they've been. Kershaw and Greinke, 47 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 57 strikeouts. Are you kidding me? Greinke hasn't given up a run in 42 and two-thirds innings. He struck out 11 against the Nats. So they're clearly pulling away. Look, I wasn't going to sit here and say they're a team that was going to contend. I did think that there was a time a couple of weeks ago where, look at what you might be able to do, have a postseason push in late September. Instead, it's becoming more and more evident it's time to start looking towards college football as we do, and the pro football stuff, and the opening of training camps and all that. It's been a nice run for them to this point. I could be proven wrong. A week from now, they could win 7 or 8 in a row. The good thing is they have Miami in town. Miami's not very good. They don't have Stanton. It may be that Miami's coming here at the right time for the Diamondbacks to fatten up on. It may be, though, that this is the direction that they're going to go down the porcelain fixture. So that's going on as well. The golf, the way that it's playing out, Zach Johnson's in the clubhouse. Spieth, Ustazen, Jason Day are all hanging around there. I'm trying to be multitask today where I can watch and talk and do my thing, and I'm not going to do too much of it. But I know I'm rooting for Zach Johnson. This is a great story given where he was in his life and where he is today and what he's been able to do in the last month. So I am rooting for him down the stretch. Arizona State football, top running back in the nation who's committed to Ohio State, showed up on campus at Arizona State over the weekend to give it a look-see. I'll give Todd Graham a lot of credit. He goes big game hunting. I like the fact that Arizona State has gone out and gone after top flight players, as I like to say, big game hunting. Whether he gets Kareem Walker or not, that's a big move for ASU. A week from this Thursday, we'll have the show out in Los Angeles for Pac-12 Football Media Day. We'll be on the road with ASU and U of A, thanks to Santan Ford and Tim Hovick. We'll take the show on the road for the start of Pac-12 Football Media Day. So college football here before you know it, and we'll be at Compton, Arizona next month. On the other side, we're going to talk some NFL football. The Cardinals have a tight end in today that I think could help them. It's very interesting, but I think it's going to come down to what can they pay versus what are those other opportunities. Plus, I want to get into Brett Favre and talk about it on a local angle. Could we ever see the type of turnout for a player here in Arizona that Brett Favre received over the weekend in Green Bay? That's next. Sports 360, AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We're Arizona-centric, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Jordan Spieth. Oh, how great is this? Down the stretch they come at the British Open. Zach Johnson in the clubhouse, Jordan Spieth making amazing putts. The wind is howling, the rain is coming down. What a great sport that's going on, sporting event that's going on right now at St. Andrews. The pressure really rising, and it's happening as we speak on a Monday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. More on that as we continue through this Monday morning. Paula Bovin News and Notes. It comes up in about 10 minutes. So today the Cardinals are bringing Jermaine Gresham in for a visit. It's really interesting. If you look at what the Cardinals have done in the Steve Keim era, we've talked about this many times. One of the most admirable traits, I think, in any general manager is they're able to tip over rocks and go into nooks and crannies and find guys that can help out late in training camp or just year-round. They're one of the organizations that when a guy comes available, they're able to find that guy, plug him in here, make him play. Tommy Kelly, I think, is a perfect example. I could go down the list of guys that they've been able to do through the years here under the Keim regime. So when I heard about Jermaine Gresham yesterday, it was first reported by Adam Schefter that he's going to check out the Cardinals. He checked out New Orleans. So the Cardinals have a need at tight end. That's not a secret at all. John Carlson retired here in the offseason. If you're weighing the two organizations and you look at what is it that Arizona has to offer that New Orleans does not for a guy like Jermaine Gresham who had some back surgery, the playing surface, the amount of money that could be paid in Arizona, I'm trying to give reasons why he should come here and be involved in the Cardinal offense. Because if you look at New Orleans and what is it New Orleans can offer him, you see what tight ends do there in New Orleans with Drew Brees. Tight ends in New Orleans flourish in their offense. And you've got Drew Brees recruiting you. It's not a swipe towards Carson Palmer. It's just, I think they're pretty much on the same level. One quarterback's coming after you. Another one says, I want you to come here and check us out. Do you have a better opportunity of winning in New Orleans within the division than you do here in Arizona? I think you could certainly make that case. The NFC West is brutal, even with San Francisco in a bit of a slide, in my opinion. St. Louis is rising, and we all know what Seattle's all about. So the Cardinals are trying to convince him to come here. How good of a recruiter is Carson Palmer versus the recruiter that is Drew Brees? Because if you think that Carson Palmer's not involved in recruiting, then I'm sorry, you just don't pay that close attention to this. It's like DeAndre Jordan a few weeks back with the Clippers down in Dallas. You get on planes. When you want to win, you go get on planes. You go meet with people. And that's what the Clippers did. They closed the door and they locked it and Mark Cuban couldn't get in. Jermaine Gresham is a very talented football player if he's healthy, okay? If he's healthy. But you put Jermaine Gresham into the Cardinals' offense, is the tight end as much of a point of emphasis in Arizona as it is in New Orleans? And I would make the argument, I don't know, there's pretty darn good receivers here. But Jimmy Graham flourished. Jimmy Graham went out of his way to put up big numbers, and Drew Brees made him a big part of what they did there in New Orleans. So I can see the argument on that camp. You want to take better care of your body? Great turf, great surface out in Arizona instead of turf. Okay, that only goes so far. The amount of money, all right, now we're talking. Okay, can the Cardinals give him a bigger check? So that's something here as we get ready for training camp in a couple of weeks. It's a week from Sunday, 2 weeks from yesterday, the Cardinals get on the field and they get going. The other Cardinal story today comes out of Dallas, where Jerry Jones took a shot at the Cardinals in the way that, and actually the ownership of the Cardinals, an indirect shot. The contract of, he was asked about the Megatron contract, the Calvin Johnson contract, and Dez Bryant. So the context here is Jerry Jones goes on a radio show to talk about Dez coming back to the Cowboys and getting a deal done, and was asked about Calvin Johnson's deal, and this was his response.
The that contract, the one in Arizona, that they were problematic. There's no question, and they did set a false financial perspective as it relates to the entire NFL pay structure. That was a big part of this issue on working around it, and that was a part of our challenge as late as 3 o'clock in the morning Tuesday night.
Okay, so Jerry's problem is he's not dealing with reality. You can't control what is being paid in Detroit, and you cannot control what is being paid in Arizona. What Arizona views Larry Fitzgerald's worth is, it's Arizona's business, not yours. When you use the words problematic, you just wanted things to all go your way. If Detroit views Calvin Johnson as an X amount of player and they want to pay him, that's their business, not yours. So rather than just kind of, because we're the Cowboys and I'm Jerry Jones, you know, it's problematic because they put out a false number. No, it's not a false number. Did the Cardinals overpay for Larry Fitzgerald? Absolutely. I'm not sitting here saying that they didn't. But it's their money. It's their business. They can pay for what they want. If you're in a neighborhood and somebody decides to pay more for a house because they really want the house, you're going to benefit from it because it's going to make your number go up. In the case of an NFL owner, it makes their job more difficult because now that wide receiver says, well, look, this is what Fitz is getting. Yeah, and that was the Cardinals' business. This is what Calvin Johnson's getting. Yeah, that's the Lions' business. You're Dallas. You can find your way through it. He's one of your more valuable. He is, you can make the argument, top three, top four valuable player, whether you like Dez Bryant or not. So to take a little bit of a shot at the Cardinals indirectly on negotiations, I mean, I appreciate his candor and his honesty, but he sounds a little whiny about the whole deal. Well, they're paying him a little bit more. So that's on my mind today. Brett Favre, guys, think about this. If you're a Packer fan, would you go see Brett Favre come back to Green Bay in the middle of summer? And the answer is, of course you would, because you have nothing else going on there other than throw a fishing line out, right? There's nothing else going on in Green Bay in the middle of summer. You can make the argument there's not much going on in Green Bay other than football season. Nice people. I have Packer fans all around me. Principal of my son's school, he starts fifth grade today. If she's watching right now, she'll probably fail him and hold him back. She's that big of a Packer fan. It's the way it goes. I remember when Favre left and Rodgers was in, she hated him. We have other friends that are Packer fans. We all have our hangups. You know, people ask me, oh, who's your team, tough guy? I don't have a team. I don't need a team. Never had a team. Don't care. Well, you had to root for the Chargers. No, I don't care. Give me a good story. I don't care what city they're in. That's it. I don't have this dying blood. I've got to watch somebody play. Just me. If I sit here and say I'm all about the Packers, I'm going to sit here and talk all day about the Packers. And it's going to be obnoxious because most of you don't care about the Packers. You may care about the Vikings or the Bears. So if I have some preference, I don't have any preference. And this goes for the Vikings too. The Vikings don't have any player. The Bears don't have any player that today, if it was announced that in Minnesota, they are going to open the stadium up and fans are going to have to pay a little bit of money, but we're going to be able to show up and honor a legend. There's not a chance with the Vikings fans or the Bears fans that they'll sell their stadium out. So I admire Brett Favre. I admire this. We have some video of this, right, Jordy? Is it Favre talking? I don't even know. What is
it? No, it's the walking.
Oh, it's the walk. Oh, yeah, we'll just show some of it. So there's Favre, you know, there's Brett walking in. This was on Saturday. Look at all these people. Don't you people have jobs? Can't you go to the movies, dinner? No, we're going to show Brett. We're going to show up to watch Brett. Look at you guys. It's embarrassing. They all paid. But in seriousness, I mean, he talked for 17 minutes. Okay. He had a messy divorce in 2008, 7 years in exile. But he was in Green Bay for 16 years. Remember when Gonzo left the Diamondbacks and it didn't all go well? And he went to the Dodgers and it didn't all go well? When Randy left the Diamondbacks, went up to San Francisco, it didn't go all well. Time heals. So bridges were built, and those two come back. Now I'm going to turn it around and make this a little local. You're an Arizona Cardinal fan. Is there any player that if the Cardinals announced, we are retiring his number, we're going to open the stadium, we're going to charge some admission, you can come out and tailgate, we're going to have X player walk out of the tunnel and onto the field, that they would get even 30,000, 20,000? The day that Fitz leaves, okay, if 5 years after Fitz leaves and they say, we're going to have a Larry Fitzgerald day, we're going to open up the roof, we're going to do everything, 15,000, 10,000? But in Green Bay, where there's nothing else going on. And remember, Favre left the Packers. He went to the Vikings in 2009, and the Vikings beat the Packers' asses into the ground. So there were Packer fans that weren't happy about that. But they put him into the Packer Hall of Fame. They retired his number 4 jersey. But I'm thinking of, is there any other player? If Steve Nash comes back and the Suns announce they're going to open up the arena to honor Steve Nash and charge, okay, they charged at Green Bay. Jordy, is there anybody? Is there anybody in all of sports you could think of? Joe Montana at San Francisco? I mean, I can't think of anybody.
Yeah, I think locally the closest thing would be Nash.
And what would they get? 5,000? 8,000?
I think probably more than that. But
you think?
Yeah. All those MVPs.
Dead of summer, nothing going on. Saturday night, indoors, we're going to have Steve Nash night. You think the Suns brand is still that strong?
I think Nash's brand is that strong.
Well, I think
brand,
I don't
he
know, though.
He turned that team around.
Because he didn't, did he badmouth the team going out the door? No, he didn't. That's not his style. He went to the Lakers and he didn't play much. If they open up and had a Charles night, I think there's a segment now that's Charles's 10, 12 different generation, 15 years ago. So it's not what it once was. But that story really caught my eye. I was out on Saturday night. We were at a pizza place in my hometown, and they had the golf on, and they flipped over to the Favre thing, and it was, look at all these people. My gosh, 67,000. Maybe when Tom Brady leaves in New England. I mean, that may be as close as it gets now that I think about it. But even if you're a Cowboy fan, do you have any player that if they brought him back today, you'd completely sell out your stadium to honor that one player? I can't think of it. Tony Dorsett? No. Paula Bovin is on the other side. News and notes. Well, I'm actually going to ask her this question, and we'll run it by her. We'll also talk about today with the Suns and Brandon Knight coming in, getting his new contract. How big of a deal is this? And some college stuff, too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports on a Monday. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, my friend Paula Bovin. She joins us every week, AZ Central Sports columnist. How are you?
Jordan Spieth is about to hit the ball, so hold on a minute. Okay. How are you, Brad?
I'm actually rooting for Zach Johnson.
Are you?
Yeah. You know, the guy's overcome a lot of demons, and
sure.
Gretzky's daughter got into his life, and they have a kid, and he came close. And while I want Spieth to do well, because I think the days of Tiger, I saw where today Phil hit a balcony on his shot. I mean, they're all over the place. And I think Johnson and Spieth is kind of a cool little, you know, 1-2 thing. And Jason
Day
with
his... It was a Dustin Johnson, though, that, and he's tanked. So
My Johnson's backwards. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. They're not showing the first name sometimes on the TV, so that's probably why you're...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So you know what? I want Zach Johnson to win anyway. So there.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Different storyline. I agree.
All right. So Spieth, Oosthuizen, Day, Leishman. I mean, there's Jason Day doing his thing, and it's nasty.
Right.
It's what you want the weather to be like back there. I'm very much into this today.
Well, there are millions great storylines too. I think Leishman's wife just was in an induced coma just like a couple months ago. He had to pull out of the Masters. I mean, there's like a million storylines this year with this tournament. It's been really fun to watch.
All right, so I was just talking about this in the last segment, that in Green Bay over the weekend, did you see the Brett Favre story?
I did, yes.
Okay, could any sports figure in Arizona draw 67,000 fans that would pay and that would be out of sight, out of mind, come back to Arizona? Is there anybody that would do what Brett Favre did over the weekend?
Gosh, that's a great question, Brad. I don't think that many.
Nash,
or maybe Warner getting them to the Super Bowl. You know, there's that excitement, but I don't even think
5,000 fans. 3,000 fans?
Yeah, I don't think you'd get the amount. It's a unique fan base in Green Bay, and what Favre did for them, you know, the greatest memories those people have. And you know, the stories of Green Bay and the waiting lists that get tickets. And
yeah.
I just think that's a unique situation, and I can't imagine that it could happen here, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I can't see any player. But, okay, so then let's take it up a step further.
Okay.
Nationally, maybe Brady? Maybe Brady when he retires 5 years after he retires, Peyton Manning back in Indianapolis, if they said, we're going to bring Peyton back here for one night, 5-10 years after he retires.
Maybe, but even that, you know, with having, and I know that Favre changed teams briefly, but I don't know if even Manning could do that. And now Brady with this sort of, what has happened recently, and I think he feels like he's unapproachable to some people now. He's got this high celebrity status.
Yeah.
I think Favre is still that everyman, you know, whether it's real or not. I just think that's how he's perceived. So I don't even know if I would see it with those guys, to be honest.
I mean, I just saw that over the weekend. I was out in California, and I looked up at the TV. It's like, don't these people have jobs, dates, anything? I mean, come on, 67,000 to welcome back Brett Favre. And
yeah, it was pretty remarkable.
Got me
thinking. That's impressive. Yeah.
The Cardinals and Jermaine Gresham. So this is a Steve Keim type of move where right before training camp, it's kind of like Tommy Kelly and others that have just, they show up late. It's very smart on the Cardinals' part. I think if you look at can they sign Jermaine Gresham to be a tight end in an offense that's not as prolific at that position as New Orleans? You have natural grass here, which may be easier on the body. You're in a tougher division. What do you make out of this Jermaine Gresham and Cardinals flirting around today?
You know, I like it. I mean, I think, and you're right, it's very Keim-like in the timing of it. And, you know, even if they're not traditionally a team where there's been a lot of production, certainly recently with the tight end, it doesn't mean there could be great value to this offense. And, you know, I think you've got to put all weapons out there when you've got this final year or two or whatever it is with Carson Palmer. Mm-hmm. I think you give him as many weapons as you can and kind of go that route. So I like the whole thing. I think that would be a great addition.
So it comes down to, is Carson Palmer a better recruiter than Drew Brees? And I'm thinking of players that Carson has recruited to come here. He probably recruited Veld here in some sort of way, I would think.
Sure.
Given the Raiders connection.
Right.
But if you could throw more cash at him and put him in the Bruce Arians offense, I think that'd be a really strong pickup for them. Let's switch over to the Suns. So there's a press conference today for Brandon Knight. We don't know about Brandon Knight other than the Suns gave up a boatload in order to get him. And then he got hurt, and he was on a team that wasn't doing much. So I don't know if he's a winner or not. What do you make out of this Brandon Knight signing? Because they're throwing an awful lot at him, and this is clearly a player for the future that they're building around.
You know what, Brad? I really like it. And I think there's a bit of a misconception because he's been on, what, two teams in 4 years that, you know, now third team and starting his fifth year, that he was doing something. And it really wasn't the case. It was more about, you know, money. Can they afford him? I like it. I think, you know, I know a lot of people don't like sort of that two-headed point guard thing. I think it works if you got two players who buy into it. Everything I've read, it sounds like he is. I think that can be very effective. You know, you've got two sort of guys who can attack the basket, who keep defenses in check and all that stuff. So I'm excited about it. My biggest question, I think, is he a guy that can be – they need a go-to guy. I want to know that there's a guy on that sure. team as a fan that, you know, wants the ball, crunch time, can do something with it. That's what I wonder about. But with his age and what he's done in his short career, you know, he got out of college. I think he left after 1 year from Kentucky. He's accomplished a lot. So I like the move personally. And, you know, is this going to put the Suns into the finals? Of course not. But as we've talked so long and hard, Brad, about having vision, it does make you feel like at least this team has vision and it's starting with good young players.
Okay, so we're talking with Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. You can check out her content on AZ Central Sports with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. If you look at the summer, okay, so LaMarcus Aldridge, they didn't get him. They made a run. It came down to the bitter end. He goes to San Antonio, as everybody expected. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, the Devin Booker draft pick, yeah, he had 31 last night. It's a summer league game. I can't get too high or too low off guys playing in church leagues against some good players. You know,
right.
not every player in the summer league is a good player. Some of these rosters are fringe guys for development leagues. Some, it's not like it's this great league. But nonetheless, 31 is 31, so you get excited about that. TJ Warren makes the first team in the Vegas summer league. It's very good. I've been impressed with him. Again, not the best competition in the world. The Suns are playing in a title game against the Spurs tonight. Unfortunately, it's not in May, okay?
Right.
we're sitting here in July, and they're playing the Spurs tonight at 6 o'clock in the Vegas Summer League title game. I think all these are positives. I think they're things that fans can get excited about and rally around a little bit for the fan base. But I don't, again, see where it's not been a bad summer. It's been a pretty good summer, but it's not been a great summer. Do we agree on that with the Suns?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it would have been a great summer if they had gotten Aldridge, if they had gotten
sure.
that one player that you feel like you sort of build a team around. And that didn't happen. But a lot of teams are, I think, in a similar situation as the Suns. And I think based on not getting him, I've liked what they've done as a, you know, sort of after that or during that process. So, yeah, I think it's good. It's not great. But, again, I'm, you know, after seeing what happened with the Suns last year, I think good is something fans can embrace a bit. It's, you know, at least if they're going in that right trajectory, I think fans are going to be excited. And I think that's why so many people turned on them this past season because of what happened the year before, all these off-the-court issues or on-the-court issues. That was understandably the frustration, so...
What does Robert Sarver say to you about any of this? Does he talk
you know,
to you?
I honestly don't talk to him very much, Brad.
You two had a problem?
Nah, just a few things here and there. Nothing major. And he's been fine when I've seen him. But he's, at least for me, I sense he doesn't want to do a lot of talking to the media these days, you know. And that's probably calculated. And so.
Yeah. I sat with him at the Booker. I sat next to him at the Booker signing press conference.
Right. Yeah. And did you talk at all?
We talked quite a bit about his soccer pursuit, but that was it. You know,
right.
it wasn't anything to do with the team. It's kind of interesting where he is right now. It's actually kind of interesting where Ken Kendrick is and Robert Sarver is right now. And I can't give you the next person that'll be the person of the Coyotes. So I'm not even going to go down that path. And the
right.
Bidwells aren't going anywhere. But,
right.
but nonetheless, I think in Robert's case, what I have to find out is, you've made two summer runs in free agency, and it's pretty apparent you don't have the juice here in Arizona to make it happen on your own. Thus, this has got to be, the way this gets turned around is it's got to be a Charles Barkley type deal. Meaning you see the biggest name that's out there, but you've got to trade for him because you're not going to be able to convince free agents to come here otherwise. They've gone two summers with this and the notion that, yeah, they're going to stockpile for Kevin Durant. Duh. Tell me something I don't know. And everybody else is going to be stockpiling for Kevin Durant.
Right.
So it's the point where I think the organization, to really get out of this ditch, they're going to have to make a major deal rather than save their money and give us the whole, we have flexibility so we can go pursue top line free agents. Do you agree with me, or do you give them another year of trying to go after the free agent, the top free agent?
If I see sufficient progress this year, I can be a little bit patient with them. You know, it's frustrating because it's how many, 5 years now, right? Without
five.
The postseason.
Five.
That's pretty bad for this organization, which used to be, you know, a free agent destination for the most part. And,
sure.
And exciting basketball. I mean, they have to start winning over fans, and they've got to figure out a way to do it. So while I'm not, you know, saying it's been a disaster, certainly I feel like I need to see, as I think as fans too, need to see quite a bit of progress this year.
All right, before I let you go, so Todd Graham kicks off a five-star recruit. Five-star recruit says, well, I'm still here. There's some people around him that want him to stay at school and that are trying to figure it out. What do you make out of this whole five-star recruit with the kid and Todd kicking him off through Sports Illustrated, by the way? It wasn't just, oh, yeah, he's gone. When you tell SI he's done, quote unquote, you're not turning back on that.
Right. What do I make of it?
How do you think Todd's handled this, and do you think it gets reversed?
No, I think he is being widely respected for good reason for his stance on it, and I think that's a positive. You know, I mean, I thought his best quote out of all of this was, if you make one exception, then you're a team of exceptions. You got to keep making exceptions, and you can't do that. And I thought it set a really important tone with this organization, or with the organization, with the university,
right,
that's what they want to be. You know, my understanding, too, though, was that it was going to be hard for this kid to come back anyway because of a lot of stipulations that he would have had to abide by from university policy and athletic department policy. So it didn't look promising for him anyway, but I thought it was good that Graham was pretty upfront and vocal about it.
Okay, so when the defense gets run over, and let's just say they're 8th, 9th, 10th against the run, and they don't have a lot of depth at linebacker, and there's going to be those people that say, well, they just needed better talent there. Well, they had better talent there.
Right. Well, and then the response is, yeah, but he's not the type of talent that we wanted on this organization. I mean, you know, whoever side you believe, there was definitely some kind of, at least a suggestion of some physical altercation with
the
woman.
Sure.
And, you know, that should be enough for people to hear to say, we don't want him on our
team.
You know, it should be that simple.
But you know this, that there are fans that are going to say, I'm not pushing you to give me the answer I'm looking for, but there are nitwits out there that will say, they needed to recruit better at linebacker. Well, they had a five-star recruit, and the coach did the right thing versus, well, let's figure out a way to keep him here so we win more football games.
Well, that's too bad. I mean, that's just fans who have too short a memory then. And, you know, at some point, you know, if you want to criticize ASU, maybe there's something in the background that could have shown this, that wouldn't have put him in this situation. I don't know. I don't know anything about his background. But you cannot criticize, I don't think, Graham for what he did, and I applaud it.
Okay, before I let you go, the Cardinals just sent out a release that Adrian Wilson is going into the Cardinals Ring of Honor. They're going to do it on the Sunday game against the 49ers.
Awesome.
Yeah, and this makes perfect sense. This is not a surprise. And I'm not going to equate this to Brett Favre because there's a football game that's going to be played there, so people are coming anyways. But I do think it's very, very smart of them to move on this quickly.
I do. And, you know, he, more than anything to me, when the team was still in their awful stages, he was the guy that loved being a Cardinal, who never talked badly about being a Cardinal, who tried to recruit other guys here.
Sure.
He was as loyal to the Bidwills as anyone I've seen in that organization. So he deserves it as much as anyone.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
All right, Brett.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist for a couple of minutes. So did you guys see the shark? There's this surfing competition over the weekend. And the shark actually attacked one of the surfers, and it's all on video. We have this on the other side. And then this Phoenix Suns ticket snafu story of a kid maybe being a little too aggressive and trying to get some business. We'll bring that story to you on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. That is our site. Plenty of content. Arizona-centric. Things we see on the college, high school, pro front. No particular order, but it's all there for you. I'm Brad Sussmat. Just a few other things from the weekend. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. Jordan Spieth does not win, but we get a three-person playoff. So there's more golf. They're just not done yet at the British Open. This will go until next week. I don't know. But there's a playoff going. So as your day is progressing, it's great. You have actually a huge sporting event that's going on. So over the weekend, a couple things. The Suns had a report show up on TMZ Sports, which is never good. It's never good when TMZ gets involved in something. And some people sent this to me. A bunch of you did, in fact. So Suns, the headline is, Suns ticket seller trying to pick up on a customer. Now, that's a really interesting headline. The Phoenix Suns say a team rep was not trying to hit on a fan's wife through email, claiming the whole thing was a misunderstanding, but they're giving him free tickets to smooth it over. The whole thing started when a female Suns fan got an email from a Suns sales coordinator, attempting to introduce himself and asking her to lunch or dinner to get to know you better. The woman's husband saw the email, puffed his chest out, and tweeted at the team, "Hey, Suns, I think your sales reps are hitting on my wife." So the email that was sent was obtained and published by TMZ. "My name is blank, and I wanted to reach out and introduce myself as your new contact with the Phoenix Suns. I don't know if you live in the area, but I would love to grab lunch or dinner and just get to know you better and hear about what you do. I've been working with the Suns for about a year now, and I'm always looking to network and get to know other professionals in the Valley. Would you be available to meet within the next 2 weeks?" So I thought about this. The Suns responded that the guy was not attempting to pull a little maneuver. They were just trying to sell basketball tickets to the lady. The team says they saw the man's point. And to prove they're not trying to steal chicks, as TMZ wrote, the team offered him two tickets to a home game of his choice. "You want floor seats to see the Cavaliers, they're yours." I don't know. Or if it's, "No, you're going to be in the top row. This is what we think of this whole deal." As for the guy who wrote the email, the rep tells us, quote, "It's a coaching moment. He's a young, hardworking kid who's only a few months out of college. The lesson is just be more clear. So there's no room for misinterpretation." Now, Jordan, you're a young man. You're out of college just a couple of years.
I am, yeah.
It's nice that you're replacing Eric again today as he's continuing on his sabbatical while pretending to work for me. Would you ever do something like this? Would you go to this extreme to attract business?
Kind of like what they said, I would be pretty crystal clear. I wouldn't.
So would you write, "Hey, I'm not hitting on you. However, let's go have lunch or dinner."
Not in that way, no.
Well, but is asking to go have lunch or dinner just that's like a dating site, right?
Lunch and dinner, that's a big step.
That's a big jump.
To start, yeah.
We want you to buy tickets, but I want to go buy you lunch or dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had through the years sales reps for the Suns come walking through my places of business, and they're very aggressive because they're told, you know, get out there and get it done. They've got the clip-on tie on. They're working it as best they can, and there's nothing wrong with clip-on ties. But it's pretty evident when they walk in that they're just, "Please, dear God, buy tickets to watch our product," which I have to say to them is, "You guys haven't gone to the playoffs. Why would I do this? Please give me something to latch onto." So maybe if it's, "Look, let's go have dinner. Let's go have lunch." If she would have said, "My husband and I would love to meet you at the Four Seasons, and we'll make sure you send over a limo rather than Uber," we'd probably have some tickets sold here. We'd probably have a ticket exchange. I don't know. So I can't really get all that upset, but you would not ask for lunch or dinner.
I wouldn't start with that, no.
You wouldn't start with that. Would you get to that?
Depends on how it went.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you say, "Well, why don't you bring your husband with you? He, I mean, after all, he's the one that's got to write the check."
Well, if she brought it up, I'd say, hey, more the merrier.
Yeah, yeah, more. You know? Hey, Robert, the reason why this costs on my expense report $1,500, it's because they wanted Camelback in for a couple days. But hey, we got the buy, right? I mean, come on. So that caught my eye over the weekend. It's somebody who's aggressive trying to sell son's tickets. So the husband gets upset. We haven't heard from the wife in all this. Did she forward this to the husband saying, this seems a little creepy? Or is this just, I would love to have those type of aggressive sales reps for me. I probably would. It'd be great. Then there's this story. We have some video here of the shark surfing attack. So this is becoming pretty scary. Three-time world surfing champion Mick Fanning was off the coast of South Africa. He's out there. He's getting ready to do his thing. And there's the shark. Shark goes after him and then pulls him in. He's just trying to go catch his wave and do his deal. And the shark, and you're looking at the wave and you're like, oh, okay, he's gone. He's done. He's shark bait on Shark Week. This is in South Africa. He told the World Surf League official website, I'm just tripping. To walk away from that, I'm just so stoked. Of course you are. Please let go of my leg. I'm just tripping. So there's the coast of where it happened, and there it is. I'm getting out of here. No, wait. No, you're not. You're lunch. But he got away. How about that one? That's pretty good. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Throughout the day, keep checking on Sports360AZ.com. Content that we see on the video front, things going on that we're not going to sit here and give you the score of the baseball game from last night, but we are going to give you a little bit more about Brandon Knight today at the press conference or things on the high school or college end. Adrian Wilson going to the Ring of Honor. We'll just put our different spin on it. Some video, some picks, some things that we see that a lot of people like to reach out to us, like the Arizona Republic. They came to us and said, we want to partner with you. We see what you're doing. It's been a good partnership. And there's others, TV stations. They want to grow with us as we've been doing this for the last 2.5 years. I'm Brad Sussmat.